Blog Talk Radio.
Reflections with me, your host, revolutionary astrologer and psychic Dionysus. Joining me will be Starlene, Reiki master slash teacher slash practitioner and astrologer and spiritual advisor. Hey Starlene, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
You're sounding mighty sensuous with this moon in Scorpio.
Yeah. Yep. Nice. Full moon in Scorpio at that too. And in like 19 minutes. Oh wait, no, like 15 minutes because it's already 4 after 8. So yeah, did you know that was when it peaked today?
No, I didn't know.
No, oh my God, I'm looking at it. It's 8:19 a.m. Here I am talking stories now.
Okay. Well, it's okay. Mercury is still in retrograde, so it's like messing with all of our minds, you know?
I know, and my feet.
I'm going to say hello to our chat room. Hello, Ali B, Becky124, Sharon slash best, or let's just say be still, my heart, Dennis slash Dream Master, guest 4301, guest 4303, Tech Nova, Knowing Star Woman, Marty Q, Rainbows underscore Nan, RT Lampwork, and Darlene Brighter. And then we have Dionysus C, the co-host, and Dionysus C. They're just amazing people, you know, all those Dionysuses out there in the world. So we're going to have to pay homage to the Dionysuses around the world, around the globe. Okay. And the ones that are in this chat room. So, everyone listening, today we are going to be talking about the moon in Scorpio, and you all know how I like to use big words or strange words. So, did I just say words? I meant to say words. You all know how I like to use big words. So today's theme with the moon in Scorpio is spiritual surgery, soul transformation, and shadow uncovering. Now, to lightly touch on each of those different topics, spiritual surgery for me simply relates to the transformation of one's emotional body, their energetic structure, their energetic fields, which relates this Scorpio moon to any sort of healing modality or practice such as Reiki. Now, Starlene, what exactly is Reiki for any of the listeners out there in a nutshell?
Well, it's a way of channeling universal life energy that's in all of us and everything in the universe. It's a way of channeling it through your body to another person, typically through the hands, and helping that person have a balanced chakra system, which is like the energetic part of our bodies. Like, we have a spiritual part and an energetic part, and then we have an emotional part, and we have a physical part. So that's basically in a nutshell what Reiki is.
Okay, all right. So it looks like to me that Reiki is about transmuting the negative energy and turning it into positive energy through the utilization of that spiritual or universal energy that transcends our physical reality. And that's what the Scorpio energy is about. In one sense of the word, it's about the transformation, healing, purging, cleansing, eliminating of anything within our lives and the changing of things into something more positive and light. A lot of times Scorpio is associated with darker and deeper aspects of life and in the world, such as death and things like that. But what most people don't realize is that when you relate to death and deeper topics, you're actually transcending and becoming a lighter being by connecting to something like that. So the act of death is simply shedding and letting go of the physical shell that could keep us feeling restricted or contained. And that's something I want each and every one of you to focus on today as well. I want you all to think about how it is that you can shed something specific in your life as a way of allowing positivity into your life. If you have to shed or let go of an old personality, do so. If you have to shell some cash over and give someone money, do so if it's going to heal them. If you have to share your deepest secrets and your knowledge and ideas, do so if it's going to heal and transform another. If you have to, you know, I guess, let go of your deepest, darkest secrets as well, and family secrets, and allow people into your house to help them, then do it. I think that this moon in Scorpio time is a great time for us to just be of service and to heal other people. I think that it's important for us to learn how to let go of anything that we hold on to, and that means physical things, that means ideas, that means old actions, that means old feelings as well, you know?
Right.
So
right.
That's something that I think about. That just came out of the blue. That was like surprising.
I think that Scorpio being the water sign, it's also very tied into our emotions and our deep thoughts. So it's also like about changing and letting go of those emotions and deep thoughts that aren't serving us, and moving into, you know, a new realm with all of that. So I definitely think that's part of it. I like that.
Okay, see, I feel that. So you guys are hearing this, all of you listeners out there, mull over what it is that you need to let go of and let go of it. Just let it go. Another thing associated with the moon in Scorpio is the letting go of power and control and the loss of control due to forces beyond our own control and jurisdiction and things like that. So what I feel is that you guys are going to have to learn how to meld with and delve into what it means to be vulnerable. Let go of the shells. Let go of anything you're hiding and come forward with your true self, allowing the darker and lighter aspects to meld into one being that is you at your deepest depth so that you can bring forward transformation within your own life and within the life of others. Because that's the only way that we can do it. I think that a lot of times people are afraid to connect with what their shadow sides, you know? And
Yeah. That's
something that's associated with the moon in Scorpio. It's a time for us to connect with our shadow sides or the parts of us that we kept hidden and buried. And it may be unconscious. We may just hide a part of ourselves because we're afraid of it on a subconscious level. But it's time to dig into those different things and to connect with them and then to simply allow them to submerge onto the forefront of our characters and to refine them, rejuvenate those things, heal them, allow them to become light, although they may have been associated with the darkness. So that's what I feel. It seems as if we have a question here. There's one question. So does that mean it is time to call out the ones who have wronged you and put them in their place, even if it will cause more uproar? Well, no. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I always think that it's important to remember that people that are living in a position of being open and aware, like I know that we are, and, you know, we're not perfect at it, but we're working on it, and I feel that most of the people listening and stuff are in that space, too. That's why they're here listening. But I feel that it's important to still send them love no matter what, because whoever wronged you or did something, you know, bad or something like that to you really doesn't know. You know, a lot of times when you look at that situation, those people that are causing that upset and that drama, they don't really know. For lack of a better word, they're ignorant to understanding that it's really all, you know, like the drama is not really real. It's not really something, it's something that we've created, you know, within ourselves. And when we're living in that space of being, you know, spiraled up, or we're living in a higher awareness, we're actually able to release and let go of that stuff. That's when we transcend things. That's when we move forward, because it's about a personal thing. So, yeah, like she replied in the chat room, can't you send love and correct their ignorance? I don't think you can send love to correct their ignorance, and that's not your job. I think what it is that you send love, and that corrects you, and that's what your job is, you know. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. And I think that's part of it. We have to transcend ourselves. We can't do it for other people. They have to want to do it and do the work themselves. That's just how it works. As much as we love to correct all the drug addicts and, you know, people that have problems and stuff in our lives. I know I would, but we can't. They have to make that decision for ourselves, you know, whatever that is, you know. So, I don't know.
Wow, I agree. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to another aspect of the moon in Scorpio would be soul transformation. Soul transformation for me simply relates to us allowing us at our core, the core of our soul, the core of our existence, the core of our non-physical nature and emotional body to, you know, I guess basically to, it's, oh my God, I lost my train of thought. That's terrible.
Never. I've never done that before.
That is so terrible. You guys are going to be so mad at me. Okay, I'm just going to start over. Okay. The soul itself relates to the core of our energetic fields, our emotional bodies, and our deepest desires, just like Scorpio. And as far as transformation, it's simply about the transformation of our emotional selves in such a way that it brings other people into the picture and allows us to merge with the souls of others. Kind of like, I'm trying to think of a simple way to say it because that's really confusing. Basically, soul transformation relates to us allowing ourselves to let go of part of what we were emotionally comfortable with and to connect with another person's soul. So it's kind of like that battle between Taurus and Scorpio. Taurus is about holding on to our personal foundation, our personal structure, all the things that we own, what we possess, our values, and kind of allowing ourselves to give them up, not completely, but in some way, so that we can fully merge with another person's soul and in turn transforming our own soul. Okay. All right. Let's see, is there anything else? Well, you guys understand shadow uncovering. That's basically going to the heart of anything that is uncomfortable, anything that is ugly, anything that is perceived as negative, and allowing yourself to immerse yourself within it and to delve into it and to... Oops. I always press buttons by mistake. My cheeks are so, you know, clumsy. But anyhow,
clumsy cheeks. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they are. Honestly, but uncovering the shadow that simply relates to us delving into anything that we don't want to visit and dealing with it, dealing with the bullcrap, dealing with the BS, dealing with people that give us. Oh, God, there's so many words I want to say, but I can't. Basically, taking all of the harder sides of our life and confronting them and bringing them out and putting them out there into the open in such a way that it doesn't cause an uproar or argument or fight or anything like that. And it allows for us to bring solace and peace and tranquility within, I guess, the awareness of another person. No, not another person. Oh, my God. Mercury in retrograde. Shoot. Jeez. Oh, man. I don't know. Whatever. Let's go on to the next thing I have here written. I put a little blog for today, and I'm just going to go right to that. Thank God, so I can save myself. But before I get to that, I do want to give you guys the message for today. Now, I never usually do this, but it's just a message that I came up with for the moon in Scorpio. I'm going to read it right now. One thing to allow is a spiritual healing to occur, to understand that sometimes giving away one's power can allow them to see what it is that they truly desire the most. Connecting to the shadows of our past and allowing them out of the closet is one of the best ways for us to truly use this moon in Scorpio to its best advantage through its non-physical and unconfrontational way of allowing healing and radiant energy into our life. So that's one of the ways that I would love for you guys to utilize this moon in Scorpio. Scorpio is a fixed water sign. Water signs relate to emotions, feelings, irrationality. Fixed energy relates to the harboring and holding on of things. So if it's in a water sign, then it's the holding on of feelings, and it's the harboring in those deep feelings. And most of the time, the Scorpio energy does relate to how we act with another person. And oftentimes, that either causes us to get lost in the extreme intense desire to merge and marry and have sex with another human being, or it can cause us to want to delve into the realm of spirit, which is the occult and the metaphysical, and the water signs all relate to that non-physical energy. So Scorpio itself can possibly be one of the deepest metaphysically and occult-oriented signs because of its fixed nature. And fixed energy is always intense.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely think that. Scorpio is very intense energy, definitely.
Absolutely. And it can be very, very, very perceptive. But anyway, now that I'm done with all of that rambling on and on and on about Moon and Scorpio, you guys can call in. The call number is 646-727-1091. You can call in with questions as far as astrology, or maybe you just have a question, or maybe you just want a reading, or maybe you want to know about your astrological birth chart and what it indicates and how it relates to your life path and what it is that you should truly be connected with, as well as how it is that you can rejuvenate your spirit, your soul, and heal yourself, and what it is that you may need to let go of in order to advance and move forward in your own life. So the call-in number once again is 1-646-727-1091. Okay, so it looks like we have some Aquarius people in the house. There's about
woohoo!
1, 2, 3 of you so far, as far as I can see.
Did you count me too?
Yeah. You're one. There's another one in the room, and then there's another one. One by the name of Knowing Star Woman, and then another by the name of Becky. Interesting. Aquarius people seem like they would in some way be under stressful energy with this transit, only because the moon in Scorpio tends to make a square to Aquarius, and what it relates to. Squares don't always relate to tension and stress, but they can also relate to activities and events, right?
Yeah. Energy. I always look at them like energy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know. I had to refresh and it started playing up. And I was like, whoops, I'm going to turn that off. Sorry.
No, it was funny. It's okay. I do it all the time. But I do. I'm such a big screw up. I don't know. Jeez. All right, but squares. Yeah, squares.
Thanks, Becky. She got us back on track.
I know.
Squares. I think energy, they're energy. Like, we were talking about this the other day. They remind me of energy, and sometimes that's tension, and sometimes it's like we're having energy towards a situation or towards an idea or an aspect or, you know, something that you're going through. So I don't know. I look at them. I don't like to look at things from a negative or malefic standpoint, because there's two sides, and we're going to go over this in another show, but there's two sides to everything. There's, you know, and the evolution of it. So, and that's my sneak peek.
Oh yeah.
Review.
This is like the shameless plug review. No. But yeah, your idea about the evolution of the signs and the lower evolved signs and how they express their energy as opposed to the higher evolved sign, and how they express their energies. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I mean, and so you can look at it from both perspectives. You know, that it is tension, and sometimes it is tension, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just energy towards whatnot. Same with trines. Sometimes trines are positive and sometimes they're lazy, you know, like how many times haven't you, you know, like have you experienced the desire to not do what the trine is saying you should do just because it's such a chill kind of laid back feeling, you know, it happens. So I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. Well, you know, for me, I think that one second. Oh, okay, all right. I thought I was going to sneeze.
Achoo.
No. Squares for me tend to relate to like activities, like they really take the planets and they manifest them either within our outer lives or our inner lives. So let's say there's some in Aquarius. There obviously their sun is placed in Aquarius, and they have the moon square Scorpio. Now, what this can do is set up a number of events that could possibly take place. For instance, they could, let's say, the moon is in Scorpio and it relates to like healing or intense relationships or something like that. or connecting with the metaphysical or something like that. If it makes a square to the sun in Aquarius, which the sun for that Aquarius person relates to their essence, it relates to their being, it relates to what they express, their self-expression, their urge and need to be rebellious or to do their own thing or to speak their own truth. And Scorpio energy, the moon in Scorpio is going to set up an atmosphere, an energetic environment in which, I guess, you said I didn't mean to say that, in which bullcrap can be uncovered and brought to the forefront, and it can create an intense energy. And the moon relates to how we're living or what we're living with. And if there happens to be a partner around that's doing nonsense or causing you to feel these intense feelings, and they seem to not be conscious of the negative effect that they're having on you, then the Aquarius person is going to want to speak their truth. And that's simply how the square can manifest in one respect, because of the fact that Aquarius is an air sign. It does show that they do want to communicate something. And the moon making the square is going to cause them to somehow live with this Scorpio energy. You're going to live with it at some point, somehow. Either it's going to manifest through your connecting with your passion, your work, your whatever, but it depends on the transiting house that it's in. So if the moon is in the sixth house, then you're going to connect deeply to your work, and you're going to revisit your past and what you used to do and how you used to work and how you were of service to another person. That's in your sixth house. Or maybe it could deal with health concerns like we were talking about earlier. Or if it's in your seventh house, then you're going to revisit old problems with your partners. And I even wrote out a whole thing here about the moon in Scorpio in every single house, but I just really don't feel like reading it. It's just a whole lot here. But you guys can visit that article on the Illuminating Existential Search.name.com, and I'll just send it to you guys. I'll send you the link into the room, and then I'm going to put the same thing on healingspiritcommunity.com.
You got it. Healingspiritcommunity.com.
This is so ridiculous. I hate this moon. I hate this Mercury retrograde. It is killing me.
It's the craziness. I mean, it's nothing bad. It's just, it's kind of funny when you think about it, because everybody's scooping up their words. It's not like you're the only one. So you're like,
communicate.
I know. I've had a little bit of a time at writing, and I'm not like that normally. It's been more of an effort for me. I mean, I'm not like a writer's block or anything, but I feel like I'm, and then when I do, it's like I read it and then I'm like, wait, does that really like make a whole lot of sense? Or, you know, you just don't have the whole grasp there, but it's cool. It's not much longer. Like what, 2 more weeks or something?
Yeah. It ends May 11th. Mercury retrograde officially ends May 11th. It goes direct. So that's going to be a good time. I presume I'll be able to speak eloquently and elucidate and explicate my ideas, opinions, thought forms, energetic structures through the intellect and mental capacities. No, I'm being stupid. I'm sorry.
You're funny.
You know what this is? Mercury is in Taurus, right? And for the most part, that's like a mental rut. That's what it's like. It's like a mental rut. And I love that word and the fact that it came out of the blue, because the rut reminds me of the dirt. It reminds me of the ground. It reminds me of rocks and stones and the earth itself. And I think that Mercury in Taurus helps us to focus on the earth, on living green, something I know you're passionate about. And as you know, and this could be reflected. Oh my God, reflected? Am I kidding myself? What is that? Reflected? That can be reflected through me and my playing the piano for Earth Day, yay! And then you know, connecting with the Earth and talking about the Earth and its resources and as well as talking about creating foundation for our life and focusing on the economy and our financial status and money and whatnot. So, yeah, when it goes direct, I won't have to deal with this whole thing. Actually, when it gets out of Taurus, I think things will be better. It'll be in Gemini. I'll be able to speak better. Jeez. Okay. Well, you know, if any of you do want to call in, the call-in number, once again, is 1-646-727-1091. Once again, in my radio voice, as learned by Michael Long of Journey Into Light, I get my radio voice from him. He knows all about it. 1-646-727-1091. Anywho, he's going to kill me if he listens to this. No, joking. Let's see here. What do we have here? What do we have going on? All right, I know that someone had wanted to call in. I think it was... Well, I'm not going to disclose the name because it would be a shame if they don't call in. But if you do want to call in, you can definitely call in and get your chart read. You can actually give me the information in private. Like, you can send me a private message with your chart information. Yeah, and then I'll just pull it up there, and then you can call in, and then we can discuss it over the air, because that's a lot funner, for a Gemini, at least.
Yeah, some people don't like to give their birth information out, and I can understand that. I can truly understand that, the whole entire thing, so. But, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's fun to talk about their people's charts, though, and that's how you learn, you know. I think that's how you end up understanding astrology, because you've made correlations between people that you know and watching their behaviors and what astrology says, you know. I mean, I've even made some of my own.
It's interesting you say that, because the moon in Scorpio today also relates to psychology and delving into a deeper understanding of the psyche of other human beings and humanity itself, as the sign after Libra, which is about social interaction. And with the water energy and its relation to what's hidden, it's about understanding the deeper aspects of those social interactions with others within humanity and society. And the air energy also relates to consciousness, and that's talking about the sign Libra, as it's an air sign. It relates to consciousness and social consciousness and the society. And Scorpio will relate to society's depth and what's hidden beneath what's communicated or beneath those interactions. So it is the sign of psychology and digging under the surface, and also anything that deals with the metaphysical and the occult and occult wisdom itself. Oh my God, what am I talking about? Occult wisdom itself. And so, yeah, what were you going to – I think that in your chart, with the moon in the eighth house, it makes sense, because the eighth house also relates to Scorpio along with Pluto. I think that it makes sense that you utilize all sorts of metaphysical practices like tarot and as well as Reiki, because that is the healing house for me on a psychic level.
Right. It's also my descendant is in Scorpio, so that is part of it too, I think.
Yeah,
and the moon being in the eighth house. Yeah.
I totally agree.
Yep, I totally agree. Me too. Me too. Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, we have some more people coming into the room. When they said that they're sorry for missing the beginning of the show, well, that is absolutely fine. All right, well, I have the chart, so we're just going to wait for that person to... Well, I don't have the chart. I'm going to pull up the chart now, but we're going to wait for that person to call in, and I'm going to send it to you, Starlene. And it's going to be quick, because it's 10 minutes left in the show, but it's always fun to do astrology, as you said, and to delve into other people's lives. But, yeah, I think with your moon in the 8th house, in Scorpio's house, it makes sense why you try to conceive of... Or, actually, why you naturally gravitate towards any sort of work that allows you to dig into other people's lives and to bring some sort of comfort or healing or anything like that. And you do it through astrology and through Reiki and through tarot and any of the other metaphysical applications or instruments or tools or outlets or measures.
Yeah, and do you think that's why I'm like fascinated with that stuff?
Yeah, I definitely think so, because for you, it's where you live. I always think about the – I'm going to extend the show just a little bit just so we can do this.
Sure.
Right here. But I always think about the moon as where we live, like where we live, where we're at home at. And in the eighth house, you're at home in the metaphysical world and in the realm of the metaphysical, in the realm of emotion and deep, realistic connections.
Right. I am,
but
too. That's right.
That, like, that's mm-hmm. where you're at home at. That's where you reside. That's where you delve into. And then for you, it's related to your work, and you express it through your work because of the fact that you have the moon in Capricorn, which is a work sign. All right. Well, I'm going to put on our caller, since we have one. Caller 501, you are on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hello, hi.
Oh, hi, it's area code 510. Okay, you kind of confused me there for a second.
Yeah, oh, you didn't know your own area code.
Okay, this is Marty.
Hi, Marty.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I am absolutely fantastic. How are you, babes?
I'm good.
Oh, that's good. Okay, well, I'm here trying to pull up your astrological birth chart. I know that you wanted me to take a peek at it. I have to get it set up, though. I just have to put it all the data, the stats, into this website here, and then I can pull it up for you and see what we have going on, me and Star together.
Okay. Do you have, like, a question or something about your chart that you want us to answer?
Not at the moment, but I'm sure I'll come up with one soon.
Okay, cool. That works out, you know.
Okay.
All right. Redwood City. What is this? Okay, California, right?
Yes.
All right. Just had to make sure I'm in the right locale. All right, Mari. All right, I have a couple of questions for you. First,
okay.
Have you always been interested in the metaphysical?
Yes, I have.
All right. Okay. That's my first question. My second question is, do you realize, I'm sorry, do you realize how naturally psychic and sensitive you always have been?
Yes, I'm extremely sensitive.
Sensitive, of course. And I'm going to tell you why. And it all shows in your birth chart. Oh, my God, Starling, wait till you see this chart. All right, I sent it to you.
Okay, I got it.
All right.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I know.
Okay.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah, that it's very interesting, just have all of that activity in the 12th house, and that's really awesome. So, wow.
Okay, so she wants a base understanding of her chart and what it means and what it is that she should do in her life, I suppose, and, like, you know, what your path is. And
yes.
Okay.
You're right.
I had to sneeze. All right. Well, first of all, I have to ask you one question. For me, anytime I look at the sun being a thing within the 12th house, and I have it there too, it often always sparks this idea in my head that this person has gone through a situation where they felt like they were invisible, or that they didn't know who they were, or that they had to adjust their energies to someone else, or that people always saw them incorrectly and different from what they really were. And I'm sure you went through those things, all of them, if not.
You are 100% correct on that.
Yep.
Yes. Also, when I see people with lots of 12th house activity, I even remember reading a book at one time that said people with lots of planets in the 12th house, they're either like mass murderers, or they're people that love and really want to care for other people. And I'm going to go on the latter part with that. You would probably be good in the service Yeah, I know. I'm just, like, kidding around. But seriously, there were people. No, there are people that in the book, they gave examples, and I don't want to say who was, but they were famous people that had been mass murdered, that had lots of 12th house activity. And it just, you know, there's not much difference between a sane person and somebody who's really a genius. You know, it's just a little tiny bit different. So, yeah, it's not that. It's just the point is that you have these really deep, deep emotions that run deep, and you'd probably be very good work-wise as being in service to somebody somehow, in some way, you know, like maybe even in the psychological realm or, you know, like in therapy or, you know, doing some kind of metaphysical, you know, counseling or something like that. Yeah. Those kind of things.
Well, she has to do the metaphysical.
I think you pick up on other people's emotions and
feelings. And, yeah,
the mood and
very much
of course.
And
now, you know why,
cry
right?
for people. I cry for people.
I do
so
the same
bad.
Thing.
Yeah.
You know
really?
Why?
That's so beautiful.
I hate that. It's embarrassing for me.
Think
about this. There are people that cannot cry. I mean, I have a girlfriend that does that, and she uses that gift, like, you know, people that cannot allow that to come out, she'll cry with them and get that to come out of them, whereas people, they just don't acknowledge that part of their life. It's really a beautiful gift, you know, when you think about it. You can always look at it from many perspectives, but you can take that angle too, and that might be where you want to start doing your work and, you know, looking about how can I help people with this beautiful thing that I've been given. You know what I mean? I know it's probably like one of those things where it's like, gosh, I don't want to cry in the middle of eating lunch with somebody, but you know what I mean? Like, you can channel that in a way that could probably benefit you.
Yeah, okay.
Something
just
to think about.
Something that's always, I've always been that way since I was little. It's a little bit embarrassing for me, that's all. And
I understand.
I cry, at the snap of a finger. It's
I know. I do the same thing. It's
really
weird because we both have the moon in Pisces together. Both.
Yeah, I was looking
at
that.
Wait, they're both at the same degree. Mine's is at 1 degree, just like yours. And then we both have Neptune. Well, all three of us have Neptune in the seventh house. And I guess for someone with the moon ruled by Neptune, Neptune is all about, like, merging with another person's spirit. It's about boundlessness. It's about transcendence. It's about not being able to separate yourself from another person's situation and existence. And for you, that's why you can, like, you know, you'll be in a street and you'll be walking, right? And you'll be walking and you'll see, like, someone and they may give off a negative or snotty energy, and you'll automatically want to react. You'll automatically feel like, what the hell is their problem? Or you'll feel like they're directing that energy to you, right?
Yes.
And I feel that this can be used for psychic service. That those people that go through those types of things like that, those people are the people who are really psychic to me, not the people who profess to be connected to fairy monkeys and, like, you know, troll beings or whatever.
Fairy monkeys,
like,
oh my God, I heard it all now.
Or whatever they, fairy ladybugs, whatever they talk about.
Yeah.
Monkeys. And, like, I think that, you know, for people.
I love
like,
that. That's great. Fairy monkeys. That is like Tom.
No, or whatever, you know, whatever people.
I know, yeah, whatever.
Like, they sea monsters, dolphins, whatever they talk to. But I feel like people who are just sensitive to feelings, those are the best natural psychics. First of all, your chart is obviously very, very bent on the 12th house. You have the ruler of your chart, which is Venus, within the 12th house of spirituality, imagination, creativity, transcendence, love for all, peace for humanity, healing, caring for children, nurturing animals, pets, rocks, socks, a lamp, a flower, whatever. Because for you, when you were younger, you probably thought of everything as being alive anyway. Like maybe dolls. Like, you wouldn't want them to be alone or something like that, right?
Yes, yes.
Like something like that. And it was the same for me. And I know this because we both have the moon in Pisces. Like, I would, like, take my dolls, right? And, yeah, I'm a guy. And I'm straight. But I had dolls. I had a lot of them, too. And, like, toys and, like, I don't know, dinosaurs and horses and Bart Simpson, this Bart Simpson doll that I broke the middle of the head of, you know, I broke the middle of the head of it, but and took all the stuffing out of it. But I always had to have it, and I couldn't keep it alone, so I had to bring it next to me, and it was subconscious, and I didn't think about it, and that's what the moon reflects. It reflects our subconscious actions, and that's why sometimes people with the moon in Pisces are subconsciously deluded. And they don't look at themselves and take care of themselves. They don't take care of their own health. They don't necessarily always connect to the physical realm. And that's something that you have to be mindful of, you know?
Okay.
Because not only is your moon in the transcendental sign of Pisces, but it's posited within the 11th house of human consciousness beyond any physical barriers, you know. It's the 11th house for me relates to the connection to the universe, similar to Aquarius energy, except that's where you live. You live within the realm of all universal consciousness. That's where you live. So it's almost as if you're always constantly receiving thoughts and ideas, and in some way, your mind is going to be highly accelerated and active because of this, right?
Okay. I think
it's not that you really think, because you have like Moon and Pisces, and you know, it's not really a thinking position. And you have Mercury in the 12th house too, and I have it there too, so don't feel bad. And like, we don't really think like, you know, with like real thoughts, but it's still, we're influenced by the thoughts of all around us. And for you, more or less, it's definitely being influenced by the thoughts of others that you may not be able to even see. You know, so I think that one piece of advice is for you to get a grip on on what you're allowing to come into your mind, what's yours and what's not yours, being able to separate yourself from other people. That's going to be one of the most important things for you within the context of this existence to focus on. But as far as your life path, yeah, you got to be a healer. You got to be in this metaphysical work. You got to be doing something where you're either taking care of the elderly or taking care of children or taking care of pets or animals or utilizing your creativity, connecting with beauty, cosmetics, modeling, all that kind of stuff, or even connecting with, like, you know, gemstones and crystals and all that stuff because of the Taurus rising. And you know, it's just one of those things.
Oh, okay. I just have to deal with it. Okay.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. And your chart is really metaphysical, so you have to be in this field. You have to.
What do you do for work right now?
Actually, I was laid off about 9 months ago. I was in visual merchandising. So I did, like, I dressed all the mannequins and dressed up the stores.
Yeah, creative
and all that
work.
Stuff.
Yep.
Yes.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. But I think.
And what do you want to do? Like, what is your goal and what do you want to do?
I'm kind of at a standstill right now. I'm doing a couple of things right now. I'm, like, taking a course in event planning right now. But I'm not sure if I'm going to use that as a career or not, but I don't know. I'm at a standstill, like I said. I'm kind of confused about where I should go, you know, because I want to make more money. I just want to be comfortable, you know. So, and in the retail business, they don't pay very well.
Yeah, because of your chart, I think you'd probably be good at, like, event planning, because that has to do with aesthetic, you know, beauty and things like that. But I really think that your heart lies in, like, what Dionysus was just saying about you're in the realm of metaphysics or helping other people or being of service in somewhere, you know. So that's, you know, like, that's something to think about. And maybe, you know, getting a job while you're working on whatever, you know, stuff that makes your heart sing, you know, maybe that's the practical thing that you need to do, because I feel like there's an essence of practicality that
always
you try to.
Practical, yep. She's going to always do
anything
that's practical and realistic at the time. She's just, you know,
right,
because of her chart. Mercury is conjunct Saturn, which can cause her to feel restricted or conflicted or stuck, you know. I think that Mercury conjunct Saturn is a little hard in that it makes people think about things like money and finance and where they're going to live and how they're going to make a living and everything that has to deal with this physical reality. And it can cause a little bit of a conflict to your moon in Pisces, you know, because mm-hmm. you really just want to be free, free from all of this, this whole physical stuff, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've kind of been interested in healing people. So
yep.
I'm going to take some classes here pretty soon.
You can do
good.
That any way. You can, have you thought of getting into, like, massage stuff? Like massage therapy for people or even the nursing field or medical care or working in hospice or anything like that?
Working in a hospital or a hospital setting, no, that's not for me because I know that people would be sick and I know that I would totally take on that energy.
Yeah, their energy.
Yep. And so I try to avoid that.
Well, I said
in
like,
healing work, like what kind of healing work were you thinking about doing?
Energy healing, healing people's chakras, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, your
this
chart reflects it. Your chart shows that you could do this. All these things you're saying, like, it's, like, there in your chart. Any astrologer would tell you that it's there because you have Virgo on the sixth house cusp, I think. Yeah, yeah. You have Virgo on the sixth house cusp. You have Pluto, which is the energetic healer in the sixth house, in the sign of Virgo. You have the ruler of that cusp in Mercury, in the 12th house, and it's in the sign of Aries, which shows that you would want to give people energy. You would want to make them feel as if they have a brand new life, you know?
Mm-hmm,
and
yeah.
be
mm-hmm.
inspirational. You would want to inspire people
and
get them going.
And really, I mean, do think about what I said about helping people cry or helping people share their emotions. You know, that is something that I think is a gift. And sometimes, I mean, even at the times I've shared things with Dionysus, and I'm one of those people that can't cry very easily. I mean, I do, but I'm not, like, very emotional. I have not very many water stuff going on in my chart, and I think that's
None.
Part of the reason.
But no water
I can
stuff.
Talk, yeah, I can, like, bring that to somebody like Dionysus, and he'll be like, oh, my gosh, I feel like, and it, like, literally cry, and I can express myself easier because I've had that to embrace, you know. So that is something, if that's a talent and it shows in your chart that it's something you have, and, you know, like that's something you could use to help people kind of work with, you know, because you always, whenever you go into that kind of work, you're always, you know, you said like working in a hospital setting is bad because you're picking up people's energies. Well, working with energy, you're going to pick up people's energies too. So if you're going to have to be, you know, in that kind of setting, then pick the setting that's going to help you, you know, with the gift that you've been given, you know, the ability that you've been given to, you know, help people, you know, go work through their emotions and that kind of thing. I think you'd be really good at it, and I would totally encourage you to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Your chart shows it. Well, I mean, I hope that that's been, I mean, I hope that we answered whatever it was that you wanted to answer, even though you never asked the question.
Well, you guys answered it, and I didn't have to ask a question, really.
Oh,
you guys are great.
You know, I'm looking at her chart, and I'm looking at the squares, and it's funny that when Sterling, when you kept saying, like, use this and use that and use this and use that, now I'm thinking about squares in a totally different way. They look like things that you can actually use.
Yeah.
Or in effect, like, I'm looking at them, and I see, instead of the Neptune square the moon representing someone that's emotionally unstable and delusional and crazy and psychotic and imaginative and boundless and stuck in their own imagination and communicating with beings, imaginary friends and pets and trolls and fairies and flying monkeys and flying pigs and everything else, I see it as a way for her to use that emotionality to connect to people and to purposefully
yep.
put herself in other people's shoes as a way of opening them up to their own emotional depth because of the fact that
yep.
she's in Scorpio. And then on the other hand, she has Pluto in Virgo, which relates to healing someone and transforming their lives through her service, and care and repairing and modifying of them or whatever. And then it makes a square to Mars, so it's fixing people and what they do. So I think you're going to be one of those kinds of people who fix people's actions and you get them moving into a better direction in life. And you may find yourself directing people as to where to live or where to move to a lot as well.
That's interesting. Okay, yeah. That's definitely food for thought.
Yeah, it's
good food for thought, especially under this full moon in Scorpio for you. You know, it's changing things and shifting around your life, so good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. All right, well, we're going to
let you. That
was
great, you guys.
Oh, you're welcome. You sound so much like Starlene. It's so scary.
Aww.
I think it's the Taurus rising.
That's cool.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe it is the Taurus rising. You're right.
How funny. Okay, well
thank you so much,
you guys. You guys are wonderful.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
I feel like I read Starlene's mind. Oh, my goodness. That's why I just laughed like that.
You're funny.
Oh, my goodness. We're bad. We only have 4 minutes left. I don't know
what's
going on here. No, I'm joking.
I'm flies, right?
Yeah, look at everyone. They're popping in the room nowadays. Now they're coming in here. Too late.
I know, right?
Hey, Eric, buddy. What's up, buddy? You got to call in one of these days. You're like, you drive me so insane with not calling into any show. I've never seen any Blog Talk Radio person that has never called into a show, except for you. You're the only one. You're holding out on us, and he's a Scorpio. He has a sun conjunct Pluto.
Oh, well, no wonder he's never called in.
And they're,
hello?
I think they're in the 8th house, too. It's so crazy.
Oh, wow. He must be really intense.
Yeah, I think he is, but he's really perceptive, like really psychic.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He's in tune with everything.
I always say that about my mom. I would be like, I can't even, like, think anything that I don't want her to know because she'll just be like, read my mind. She's very Scorpio.
Yeah, he does that. He does that all the time.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love it. Yeah.
Oh, well, Carly 11, I'm sorry, Mercury retrograde, whatever. No, I'm joking. I don't know what my next show is going to be. This was just like spur of the moment. My dad was at work. I decided to do a show. It was fun. I don't know what I talked about. I can't remember anything past 19 seconds ago, but I know that we did a chart with someone. I think her name was Marty. Oh, yeah, I'm remembering stuff now. Her name was Marty Q, and I'm on the air with Starlene. My name is Dionysus. All right, just making sure I remember stuff. And I don't know when we're going to have another show. I think that we're probably going to just, do them like this, like whenever the feeling strikes.
Oh, well, on Tuesday, we're going to be on my show, and we're going to talk about the progression of the sign. So I don't know if you'll have a show before then, probably, or maybe not. I don't know, whatever.
I doubt it.
On Tuesday, well, it's almost a week, so I figure whatever. Tuesday night, healingspiritradioshow.com, and at 8 o'clock, that's when we'll be on. So, yeah.
Oh, cool. Yes, you guys have to go to healingspiritcommunity.ning.com. You can find me there. You can find Starlene there. You can find a lot of the people on Blog Talk Radio there. And there's a lot of information on Reiki and psychic work and astrology. And Starlene even has lessons written out there. So we only have 90 seconds, but I love you guys. You rock, you're fun, yada, yada, yada. I'm so sorry about this Mercury and Taurus. It's making me lazy and like, Okay, well, anyhow, thank you so much for coming on there with me, Starlene Brighter. You can find Starlene at her website and show, healingspiritcommunity.ning.com, as well as healingspiritcommunityshow.com. I think that's right, right?
I put it in the chat room, healingspiritradioshow.com.
All right, yeah. That's exactly where you can find her. And you can find me on my whatever, you know. You guys know where to find me. I don't know. Whatever. Bye, guys. Love you, Star. Thanks for coming on.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
I've got a way with words, and it's the cause of all my problems. I've got my mind set, and that's the way it is. I never thought it could get this bad. When I had you in my pocket, everything was just fine. And you got a big mouth, and the streets are talking about the way you walk around like you own the place. You got a big mouth, and you should have shut it. Yeah, you should have shut it in the first place. And all the things I said, what were they really worth?
Shut it in the fire.